Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW. Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time.
All right, Dan, the main event, Christian and Darby, they go about 20 minutes. What'd you think of that match? What do you, how did Christian keep up with Darby in that match? And what'd you think of the finish? There's a lot of things going on with Darby with the TNT title situation plus the Swerve and AR Fox situation. And did you think they did a good job weaving that into it in the end?
I think it's good to draw attention to those guys watching backstage. I think that was fine. I don't think they had to be, you know, involved in the finish. He does have, like, battles on multiple fronts, and that kind of fits his character. I thought the match was great. I really thought they, you know, I was kind of lukewarm about this show until the main event, to be honest. And I thought that really, Christian kept up, and you know, Darby – that drop kick he did to the outside was just amazing. I mean, the guy does some amazing things, and you worry about him, but I guess we're kind of past that at this point. And
until we're not.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't mean this, but, I mean, he clearly is cool with it, so I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm just going to try and enjoy the matches and not cringe too often when I watch. You know, he did that coffin drop onto the apron, too. And I don't particularly like to see it, but I'm like, this is what the guy's been doing for a long time in front of a lot smaller crowds than this. But if you, notwithstanding that, I mean, I really thought it was a good match with a really strong dynamic. I mean, you know, even though the crowd kind of appreciated Christian at the end, I mean, there's no doubt the guy's a heel. I mean, I was thinking about this more holistically, Wade. I wasn't that thrilled when they brought Christian in. You know, they'd already had the Hardys, and they did some of these other things, and it just – I didn't see his place here. And when he beat Kenny for at least the Impact title, I was kind of like, I don't know. But he's more than earned his keep. I mean, I really am impressed with just everything about him. He's one of the highlights of AEW.
I agree. Christian has been, I mean, Darby and Christian both have had really good years.
Yeah.
Darby's shining on the microphone, and who thought we'd be saying that a few years ago. And he's just coming across as a leader. I think, you know, he went from like this young kid, even though he was, you know, in his mid twenties, he wasn't like, you know, Nick Wayne young. But you know, he's kind of portrayed that way, and he's not a newbie anymore. He's not this like young kid who is he? He's got this leadership quality. He feels like he's lived a lot of life already. And now he's got this young protege, and he's looking after him after his dad died. And it just has given him new life as a character, and he's got new confidence on the mic. And then you have Christian just doing a clinic every week as a heel. I mean, there's times where it's, you know, a little too localized, and I think I'd rather have him generalize it to a broad audience and not make it look like we're just, you know, peering in on him and insult a local crowd. But even when he does that, it's way more entertaining than when most people do it, even if it's low-hanging fruit. And this whole thing, like Jim Ross arguing with Nigel tonight about, well, Nigel going, well, Christian helped Luchasaurus win. So that gives him, you know, credibility holding the belt and claiming it's his. And Ross, he's just like, oh, God, seriously?
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea that Christian with a total straight face, deadpans that he's the champion is fantastic. Like when Shivani announced, you know, after the match, you know, Darby, you're going to get your shot at All Out. And I'm like, oh, Darby gets a title shot against Christian. I'm like, wait, no, against Luchasaurus. He's the champion. And then I love Luchasaurus just holding Christian on his shoulders and Christian holding the belt up. I don't even know how it all ends. I mean, I assume Luchasaurus will have enough of this at some point, but he's putting up with it. And yeah, these two, they earned the This Is Awesome chant. I think that's given out too often. But this was a you know, two different, I mean, Christian's like, you know, 20 years older than Darby, and he went out there and had, you know, a really, really nice TV main event. Those two delivered. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned this already, but I think it just bears emphasizing the Nick Wayne Darby relationship is, at least as far as this point I can tell goes, just really strong for both gentlemen. It gives Darby this and they've always been really careful to keep his relationship with Sting, what he describes it as, not so much that he's a little bit of the protege, but also that Sting treats him like an equal, but him mentoring Nick Wayne and just, you know, you don't ever watch Darby and think, oh, that's a put on act. Like he's this upset about Nick Wayne. I mean, they've done everything really well in this entire storyline. And like I said, he's got two different stories going on, but they're both really compelling. And that's why he's one of the few guys that, you know, maybe the only guy I think that has matches completely lined up on All Out and All In. And I think it's well deserved.
What do you think of the AR Fox, Swerve Strickland and the follow-up to the angle, kind of almost mimicking what Fox and Swerve did? And yeah. And then, you know, Darby and Nick Wayne in their promo afterwards, Darby going, I could have finished you there, but I want to do it in front of a bigger audience. And Nick Wayne saying, do you want me to act like my dad taught me to act or lower myself to your level? Did that work for you?
I think so. I mean, I kind of, you know, I like the baby faces that are maybe not the ones to start it, but they try to end it. I mean, this kind of goes back to the old Mid-South mentality, which is what I always preferred, or UWF above all others when I started to watch. And so, yeah, I mean, that action we talked about last time I was on with you certainly warranted a response. And you know, I feel like it fit the characters pretty well.
I agree. So you said you were down on the show up until the main event. We'll delve into that more. And we're expecting to hear from an on-site correspondent tonight too, who attended the event in person. So we got a lot more to talk about. Let's just pause here. We covered the main event. We can delve into it more if callers or emailers want to. But let's pause and just formally introduce ourselves quickly and then move on to calls and emails and other parts of this show. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Saturday, August 19th, 2023. And I'm Wade Keller, the host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of Pro Wrestling Torch and the website pwtorch.com, and the host of various podcasts throughout the week, including the Wade Keller Podcast and Post Shows. Hope you checked out the flagship this week. Todd Martin, my guest, as co-host on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. It was a simulcast of the first half of this week's Fix, which is normally a VIP exclusive show. Covered all the A topics of the week, including a lot on CM Punk. I want to get your take, Dan, in a moment here on the CM Punk angle and just CM Punk in general, what we've, you know, the news from the past week, and if you have any thoughts on what Todd and I talked about on the flagship this week. And also, I host the Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision post shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We got a big rest of the month coming up. The next two weekends are huge. It was a fun verbal battle as AEW tried to hold their stance that they're having the biggest attendance of a wrestling event ever. I heard 90,000 said at one point on the show. Otherwise, most were saying 80,000 in light of WWE bragging about 90-plus thousand tickets sold. So a big time for stadium shows and ticket sales and wrestling in AEW. In just 8 days, it's going to be an amazing scene when the cameras turn on in that venue. So got a lot to talk about. They announced matches for this coming Dynamite also, and Dan and I will give an overview of what we know about All In so far, too. So a lot to talk about. The Dan I speak of is the other voice you've heard on the show so far, Dan Keister. He is a PW Torch contributor, helps out with New Japan coverage over the years. And Dan, it is very cool to have you back in the co-host chair. I know this will happen less frequently in college football season, but it's good to have you on again here this summer.
Yeah, and I've really been enjoying this, Wade. So, you know, as long as we have, I think they announced the game times 2 weeks out. So if you can be flexible, I'll certainly try to continue on throughout
great.
The fall when I'm going to be around. And those things kind of go week by week. But I've certainly, you know, I enjoy talking wrestling with you. We've mentioned we get to do that the Hall of Fame in Waterloo every so often and just different events. And enjoy interacting with the callers. We get really good callers on here too. So it's good to force me to pay a little more attention and be locked in a little bit. And I did listen to you and Todd talk about everything this week because I do it anyway, but part of the preparation. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. We will talk some CM Punk momentarily. Speaking of callers, if you are live streaming our show, we invite you to call us. The number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call push 1 on your keypad, that'll flag you on the switchboard and let us know that you want to be on the show. You can also just call and listen. You can always find the link to the live stream at WadeKellerPostShow.com or at my at the top and bottom of my reports at PWTorch.com. I cover Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision with written reports and analysis every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, respectively. And you are invited to read that, and you can also click on it and find the phone number and the link to stream the show and the email address. So lots of easy ways to find us, and if it works out for you to live stream the show, that's great. If not, as most of you do, just download the show afterwards, search Wade Keller on your podcast app, and subscribe to this, The Red Logo Show. And also, while you're at it, The Blue Logo Show, our regular podcast, instead of the live streaming call-in format that we offer on demand afterwards, it's our regular podcast format, along with some classic interviews and other special shows. That's our Blue Logo Show. Subscribe to both. We also, as I mentioned, have a way for you to participate by email. So if you're not going to live stream the show or don't want to call in, but you want to give your thoughts or ask questions, Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. All right, let's start going to phone calls here and get hit some other topics as we roll along here. We'll begin with area code 513. 513, you're first up. Go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade and Dan, it's Micah from Cincinnati, Ohio, VIP member.
Hey, Mike, you said you're from where in Ohio?
I have Micah, and it's Cincinnati.
Micah, gotcha. Thanks. Cool. Good to hear from you. Yeah. Thanks for being a VIP member. What's on your mind about tonight's show?
Yeah, I don't – I think I heard you say that Dan wasn't kind of high on the show tonight, but I continue to be pleasantly surprised of how good Collision is each and every week. And I think part of that is just the simplistic nature. I thought that they did a great job of, you know, continuing to build into All In and explaining the matches and, you know, really – talking to those things. I listened to your show on Wednesday after Dynamite, and I was like, man, what is going on with AEW? And so, like, it's like they're just two different shows, and they're just two different promotions, even if they're under the same umbrella. So it just continues to blow me away how the simplistic nature of Collision continues to be every week.
And you mean that in a good way, just to emphasize. You like the
absolutely.
The pacing. And, because some will look at that and go, simplistic, you know, But I'm with you.
I mean, like, simplistic from like
I feel more relaxed, like, after the show's over, and I feel like I've comprehended what I've watched. I'm not stressed out. It's just like Dynamite can be sort of frenetic and stressful, and, you know, it's like you just got done on a roller coaster ride that was kind of fun, but you were on it maybe a little against your will or longer than you wanted, and there just wasn't kind of a break between the twists and the turns. And Collision is it's a better paced adventure that I feel like serves the viewers better because you have time to have things kind of sink in. Is it Micah or Micah? Sorry, I don't want to.
Oh, it's Micah. Yeah.
Micah, cool. Yeah, so Micah, I want to throw it to Dan and ask what you thought of what Micah's bringing up, which is the pace of the show. And is that what you didn't like, or are there other aspects that you were disappointed in up until the main event?
Okay, so first of all, I think I used the word lukewarm as opposed to down on the show. So I don't want to be overly critical, but I thought they were gonna have an FTR interview, and I guess that got put off to Wednesday. And you know, I wasn't super high on the women's match. There were things I liked about the show, and I'll total disclosure, I sent you this message earlier, Wade, and I was texting with Todd. I drove from Denver, Colorado to Manhattan, Kansas on Wednesday, and I got here about 2 hours after, about the time Dynamite ended. So I watched it kind of on – I didn't watch any of the Chainsaw match. I sped through some of the nonsense, and it sounds like that was possibly one of my best decisions. Like, Dynamite didn't really – bother me that much Wednesday because the things I watched were some of the more compelling matches and things of that nature. But I do agree with Micah that the pacing of this show is much more to my taste as well. I like the fact that it gets a chance to breathe. And it's just like there were just things like Dalton Castle. Like, I feel like getting to the pacing that Micah's talking about where you're setting, like, I like the thing with Will Hobbs. I like that they're setting things up. Dalton Castle to this audience, I think he's been on there once, maybe. I can't remember. But, like, maybe give a little more background there. The thing with Roosh was kind of out of nowhere, but I guess that's fine. Just like sometimes you don't always know. I feel like they set the groundwork a little bit more for some things that were coming up. It would be better. And again, I was looking forward to the FTR interview that I thought had been promoted quite a bit, and then it didn't happen.
All right, Mike, I'll throw back to you. Follow up on that or bring up anything else you want.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dan. It's funny that you mentioned the Dalton Castle thing. My wife was watching the show with me, and she had no idea who Dalton Castle was. Now, she doesn't watch Ring of Honor, and you know, I rarely watch it. So she's like, who the heck is this? And I was like, oh, it's Dalton Castle. He's the, you know, Ring of Honor regular. And kind of had to explain that to her. And, you know, they didn't do, you know, much. I mean, they did, like, the pre-show vignettes, but, you know, she didn't know, you know, have a clue as to who he was. So, and Dan, I don't know that he's been on Collision yet. So
I don't think he has.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be incorrect. And that's a character that needs introducing. I mean, you know, you can't just throw that out there. And then it just was kind of it just didn't fit. Like, it doesn't have to be a long vignette, but I would have had him even maybe, you know, you got to plan ahead. I know, but have him wrestle last week and win a squash like that. Cause it was a compelling match. The match was good, but it just seemed so, if I was trying to look at it from your wife's perspective, like some people are watching this, go, is this a squash? Who is this guy? And then they said, well, he's really stepping it up, and it's going to be hard for him to go into the big leagues. And then 10 seconds later, and I like Nigel a lot, but then Nigel's like, he's a former world champion. It's like, well, wait a second. Which is it? Like, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
I when Dalton goes out there and does that vignette and his weird voice, and then he's got these guys behind him, and it's like, who is he? How are we supposed to feel about him? You know, there's just not enough of it. Not enough's an understatement of an introduction of who he is. And then the commentary, it's like, we'll kind of fill you in, but it almost feels reluctant. Like, well, we don't want to bore people who know, but you know, if you're one of those people who hasn't done all the research or followed ROH for all these years, you know, we'll sprinkle in a little bit here and there, but it's just half-assed. And I don't think a character like Dalton can be half-assed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had they chosen a different, go ahead, Michael, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, in reference to the FDR thing, I don't know if that had anything to do with the arrest that was, you know, going on in the court appearance in the last couple of days. I don't know if they just didn't want to put them on the show today or they were just going to wait till Dynamite. I don't know if you know anything about.
No, I didn't hear. Like, we all hear from FDR. Did they overtly promote it, be it like an in-ring promo or something? Because they did the vignette where we heard from them. You know, Cash and Dax both talked about their history with the Bucks. In the ring, so I'm wondering if they tried to just make, like, if that's
that,
supposed to come.
Yeah. I swear on Wednesday night they said it was going to be a live interview. I was pretty certain. I thought even today, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess they can say that little pre-recorded piece took the place. But I think they're committed to doing it. I mean, they're going to do the face-to-face on Wednesday. So I just, you know, that's such a compelling match and story to me that if you're gonna promise something like that, you should deliver it, I think.
Yeah, go ahead, Micah.
No, I was gonna say last topic, I'll let you get to other callers and other conversation. I know that Kevin Kelly was you know, doing the G1 for New Japan, but he was back on the show tonight, and I wonder what you guys thought of him on commentary. I've really enjoyed Rick Abani and Nigel together over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Kevin, you know, I don't know if they're just rotating people in that announce team, but I really enjoyed the combo of Nigel and Rick Abani together. So I don't know what you guys had in regards to that or thoughts about the announce team. And I know they've been kind of wedging JR in for the main events over the last couple of weeks. So it's kind of just been a rotating desk.
Well, JR says he's full time. I don't know if you caught that.
JR said, "Who's full time?" Dan. Oh.
Okay, hold on.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So who did he say was full-time? Sorry.
JR said I'm full-time. Like, as in JR himself is full-time. At the end of that main event, like, yeah, he's claiming a little ownership there. And I thought this was his best, you know, I thought this was his best performance. He kind of fit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a thing with Kevin Kelly where they fit together better. I like Ian a lot. I like Kevin Kelly a lot. I think this is, from my understanding, it's going to be Kevin Kelly's job going forward as long as he's in the United States. I guess I don't have a really strong preference between the two. We've talked about this before. I think they're both pretty good. There were a few more puzzling moments between Kevin and Nigel tonight, I guess, than maybe on most shows. But for the most part, I still thought it was good.
Yeah, I would lean a little towards Ian Riccaboni than Kevin Kelly. I don't think either have been great, but I think they've both been very good. There's, you know, inflections with Kevin Kelly that, you know, I made fun of before. And that I still don't think serve the product super well. That might work a little better in a New Japan situation. So I think he's still kind of, you know, hopefully he isn't thinking he's at the peak that a pro wrestling announcer doing 2-hour live broadcast in the United States can be at. I hope he's hungry to get better and does, because I think there is room for improvement with him. But I think AEW is two good announcers. And frankly, I think Ian and Kevin are fun to spend like 2 hours with on a show that's a little more relaxed. And so, you know, I mean, it's good. I'm not blown away by Kevin Kelly. I'm less of a fan of his New Japan work than some people. I think he gets a boost from calling great New Japan matches. But I don't think anyone is telling him that he has room to improve. So maybe he won't. But there's stuff with his inflection that just drives me kind of bonkers. It's just so not natural the way that he talks. And I don't think he emphasizes points in a way that where I feel that he's feeling it. But I don't think Ian Riccaboni is like top shelf in that regard either. You know, both have different strengths. But the things that I look for in a complete well-rounded announcer, I think they both have some gaps. But like I said, I think they're very good and they fit the tone of the show. And I don't think Kelly should lose his job because Ian did a nice job. I don't think Ian was, you know, so much better than Kevin Kelly that, you know, there should be a shakeup or anything like that. But I thought Nigel had good chemistry with both. And I hope Ross is on every week. I had heard when, you know, before Ross had some health issues that he was going to be part of Collision, that he wanted to be part of Collision. And they were going to find a way for him to be part of Collision. And I like him kind of stepping in and elevating the main event as a special commentator rather than, you know, having him go out there for the full 2 hours, which I just don't think is his thing anymore. Micah, back to you. You can react to any of that or bring something else up or sign off, whichever you want.
No, I think that's all I have. Wade and Dan, Wade, I really appreciate everything you do, and I listen to you every day, and, you know, everybody go VIB.
Awesome, Micah. Thank you. I appreciate your kind words very much. Thanks for your support. Means a lot.
Have a great night.
Thanks, Micah.
All right, our number is 347-215-8558. Let's jump next to Hendrick from Portland. Hendrick, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you again. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi. Well, so last night on Down, we had the whole Edge show. And then, I mean, I would even say tonight, I mean, Christian main event of the night. From what I've heard actually direct from Edge is that I'm not retiring, but this is my last match on my current deal with WWE. Do you think there's any chance Adam Copeland could end up in AEW?
Sure. Why not? I mean, Christian's there. They're friends. I mean, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome for them to reunite in some form or fashion. They might like it.
Well, and I think they'd love to wrestle FTR at some point. I mean, he's, you know, FTR helped bring him back for his training. I mean, they're really tight. We got to interact with Adam and Beth Phoenix both at Waterloo. Beth's been there a couple of times. And I know, you know, I think it's universal that they're like some of the nicest people in wrestling. But just from what little I picked up from there, I mean, I think that he's not one of these people that's adverse to wrestling outside of WWE. I guess I would say that.
Michael, what would you like to see if he did come to AEW? A feud with Christian, teaming with Christian, just kind of being separate from him for a while, having some dream matches, maybe playing a role behind the scenes?
Hendrick, I think he's asking you.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Hendrick,
well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, definitely, obviously, in the ring, and then to see, you know, what they could do as a duo. I was just curious if Christian would even want Edge there to like stomp on his territory so much.
True. But... Well, you know, and that was something I had heard. You know, that Christian. You know, one of the reasons he went to Impact Wrestling, TNA, and became, you know, a headline heel there, NWA champ, is he just wanted to prove he could stand out and not be in Edge's shadow. I think he's probably in a different place now. I don't have, like, a update on how he feels about that or where he and, you know, how Jay and Adam are getting along right now or anything like that. But I assume things are fine, and I assume they wouldn't, at this stage of their careers, worry about that too much. But you could have – maybe Christian would. I don't know. I mean, I just think they're – I don't think friends would – think that way, and I think they're in very different places right now than they were when those, you know, were more, you know, in their 30s when they had maybe more to prove and more journey to travel. Micah or Hendrick,
and then all right, so All In's coming up. I was hoping there might be like a standout match to make like a new star when you have that backdrop. And I was trying to think who would be like that new star to have a breakout moment. And my first thought was actually Willow Nightingale. And she was on the show tonight. And first, like, she rubbed me the wrong way because she just kind of seemed like a Bob Backlund smiling baby face. But, you know, the more you see her, the more you see there's more to her. And I was like, well, if you're going to make anyone a star, like, she seems about as ready to go as anyone. But she still doesn't have a match there. Maybe she has something to do with Chris Statlander at some point in time. But, I mean, where do you see Will Nightingale, you know, going forward?
Dan, what have you thought of her so far?
Yeah, I mean, I really like her character. I know the match with Athena was outstanding. She's definitely made strides and done pretty well. I do think right now they have her kind of as a secondary piece in the Statlander Mercedes. You know, that seems to be the program. Whether that's what they should be doing with her, you could certainly argue against it. So, unless they do a tag match, I don't know if she'll be on either of the shows. And I kind of understand your viewpoint on that, given the you know, the upward mobility in the women's division or the rising star. She's as good of a choice as any of them to be kind of that rising star in the women's division. I think that for All In, they were focused. They kind of worked backward on getting Saraya on the show. And then I think they always planned on Toni Storm being the champion, you know, a few weeks ago. And I would not argue against the choice of Hikaru Shida. And then, you know, Britt Baker's not at the level maybe she was a year ago, but she's still, you know, one of the – it'd be wrong, I think, not to have her on the show. And I'm not saying they should only necessarily have one women's match, but I'm also not saying that they shouldn't. And so that seems to be the spot. You know, I can't argue with those four if they're only going to have those four on the show, I guess, would be my counter to that.
I think sometimes, too, you just have to decide to get really, really get behind somebody. I mean, just, okay, something's going on. It's like, you know, we talk about with LA Knight and WWE, they have, you know, half a dozen reasons not to push a guy, and they've got a dozen reasons to push a guy, and the fans are into him. Just don't dwell on the shortcomings. Just accentuate the strengths. You know, same thing with Ian and Kevin Kelly on commentary. Accentuate their strengths and try to, you know, improve, you know, direct them to improve in a new setting, in a different setting than what they're used to. Willow has definite strengths. The crowd's behind her. I just, like, I don't like, I don't like really kind of slow, half-hearted, drawn-out half pushes when fans want to see someone get elevated. I just think there's times where you just go all in, and you might at times push someone too hard, and it turns out they weren't ready for it, but or that, you know, you look back and go, well, you know, that person wasn't worth that TV time. But if you always are worried about that happening, I think you miss out on that you know, one out of four, one out of five times, the person just turns into a breakout star.
Yeah, she has the potential to do that more than really, like I said, she does stand out amongst kind of the up-and-comers, if you want to call her that, I guess, for sure. She has something that a lot of those, not just the women, but the talent don't have. In terms of his ability to be a star.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, Hendrick, back to you. Do you want to follow up on that at all? Or?
No, probably not. I mean, it just, do you guys think I guess the last thing, do you think for sure FTR is going to be on the all-in card because of issues with cash or whatnot?
I'd personally be very surprised if they weren't at this point. They've had enough time to, you know, they pushed forward with it tonight. I find it difficult to believe Tony Khan doesn't know everything that's happening. And I do think, you know, I don't know the details of this, obviously. Yeah. But I think, you know, we get in this little Twitter world where there's a rush to judgment sometimes and or X or whatever. And I think that, you know, this may not be quite as bad as some people have made it out to be. I mean, we'll let it all play out, but I find it hard to believe Tony's, like, just unaware. I think he knows all the facts by now, and they would have pulled him by tonight, I think, if they were going to pull that match.
Yeah, I'm in the position you're in, or my stance is the same. We know what's, you know, what's out there, and it doesn't jump out to me as, oh, man, it's so obvious Tony Khan should take him off the show, and it's awful that they continue to promote the match. But it might turn out that's a wrong decision the more we find out. I'm not there yet, but I'm kind of hesitant to take a strong stance because I do think social media rushes, you know, it can be a storm of very strong opinions that I end up feeling it ends up being premature sometimes. So, I don't know what the social media reaction is to them continuing to promote the match tonight, but it was such a recent story, and I think it's fine to continue to promote the match based on what we know, but maybe we'll find out enough where it'll be advisable for Tony to at least pull cash from the show. They could do some sort of, you know, injury angle or something like that. It's sort of a halfway mark where, you know, you're not like suspending him or firing him or canceling the match. You're just sort of, you know, winking a nod to the audience. We're going to kind of push pause on this and do something else. But like I said, the story is pretty fresh, and I think there's room for more due diligence, including finding out about what the next step is in the legal process. It's not a great look. I mean, it's not a great look. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to excuse him. I just don't know that it's grounds for an immediate halt to his career.
And what little I know, I just feel like right or wrong, up or down, this is one of these things that, you know, the final outcome is probably going to be far different from the initial charge. It seems like one of those things that people are able to plea bargain out of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there you go. I mean, I'm uninformed. I'm aware of that, but that just strikes me as the case. And then, you know, we could talk bigger picture about this, you know, but, I don't know. I've been watching wrestling for 35 years, I guess. And so this breaks, I don't mean to diminish it, but a lot of people in the years I've been watching wrestling have been accused of and have done a lot worse.
For sure. For sure. All right, Hendrick, appreciate the call.
Thank you. Thank you both. Have a great night.
Thank you. Enjoy your weekend. So we were talking about Edge and AEW. We got an email on that from Cody V. Hi, Wade, with all the controversy of Edge having his last match and all the talk of what's next, I've seen many wondering if Edge will show up in AEW. Honestly, I see that as a huge step down. Edge going to AEW would be neat for the nostalgia and would provide the sugar rush pop AEW is known for, but the idea of a possible Edge and Christian reunion at any promotion would be amazing to see. A reunited Edge and Christian versus the Hardys one more time at Wembley would have been the best possible match I could see for AEW. At the end of the day, it'd be a cheap ripoff on what an amazing legacy Edge and Christian left in WWE. Do you think Edge stays in WWE, or do you think we could ever see Edge in AEW? So You know, I honestly don't know enough to know where his head's at in terms of, you know, whether he'd consider going to AEW. I mean, if WWE is like, we got what we can out of you and we're cutting back on our expenses with the sale, and Edge is like, really, you're not, you don't want to renew or pay more? I mean, if that's what happened, then Tony Khan's like, yeah, I want to bring you in. Here's a 7-figure check. And I mean, I see no reason that Edge wouldn't do that. And it doesn't mean he has to leave WWE with hard feelings. It's just, okay, you don't want to pay. They do. I've got more to offer. You know, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I'm not against it. But you know, I'm not ruling out, just based on the way things were portrayed last night, that he takes some time off and comes back for a big match here and there. So yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Well, it's unfortunate this is a letter, because I would push back on how is it a step down? Like, what's he really done in the last few years that would make you think that, if you look at the way they used Chris Jericho at the beginning of AEW, and they could do something at all similar to that with Edge, I'd say it's probably a step up.
Yeah, I mean, I would push back too. I don't think Edge going to AEW should. I mean, if you're a pro WWE anti AEW person, but I mean, they're going to be playing in front of 80,000 plus people next Sunday. I mean, it's a good place to be. And if he's got things he wants to do and opponents he wants to wrestle, and he wants to be on TV every week, if that's where his head and heart are at, then I think it would be a respectable chapter in his career. I don't want to see Edge and Christian like do nostalgia zany humor.
No,
you know, I want.
I don't want to see him against that. Again, I'm going to push back against this author. Like, putting them against the Hardys at Wembley, that's not. He's got more to give than that. And it wouldn't fit. I mean, Christian, it just, you know, you wouldn't rush that in and do that as some. I just don't agree with the premise of the letter, I guess.
Yeah. I want to get back to specifics on the show. I want to talk about CM Punk. But Julian from London sent an email, and that ties in enough to kind of the big picture we're talking about here. He said, after several years, I'm interested to know if you think AEW has been good for WWE, both in terms of forcing them to up their game creatively and generating more interest in wrestling in general. Is WWE in a better or worse place than if AEW had never launched? I think WWE's in a better place. I think it sparked them. I think they showed WWE that there is an audience out there of sort of lapsed WWE fans, and another place that's going to pull talent from them. So they better get the most out of the wrestlers that they have, so that they aren't sitting around thinking, man, if I went to AEW, I'd get a bigger, better push and maybe position myself for a big contract with AEW and maybe a big return contract with WWE, kind of like Cody did. And so it's been good. And I mean, the best thing, probably the most, I don't say the best thing, I think the most tangible thing that has benefited WWE is the journey Cody went on. And that
Absolutely.
Is leaving and the well-manicured hand with the checklist of things he wanted to do, the bucket list, and then all in, and then launching, you know, being part of the launch of AEW and an EVP. That journey was necessary for Vince McMahon to look at Cody and respect him the way that he did. Is Vince McMahon goes to war with people, but he respects people who bring the fight to him. And you know, Eric Bischoff did, and there was a level of respect there. And with Cody, I think Vince respects people who you know, do what he does, you know, get in the trenches and promote. But obviously Cody was young enough and had a lot left in him that Cody's been a huge addition to that roster and a huge success. So just that alone, if that's all it was, that'd be big. But yeah, I mean, they don't want anyone to infringe on them being far and away the number one brand, and I think it did motivate them. Competition is good. It's why capitalism,
Absolutely.
With all its flaws, Dan, as an econ professor, it is human nature requires that level of competition, ego, drive, whatever, of people wanting to be the best and being driven to get better because there's a threat by someone else doing it. So, yeah, speak to that, Dan.
Yeah, well, I could give my whole pro-capitalism discussion, but it is the greatest weapon against poverty in the history of the world. But that's another story for another day. You know, as we've talked about, I've been, and we've both been paying attention to this stuff for 40 years. And if you look at when WWE's been at their best creatively, just as a company, it's always been because of reacting to competition. Whether that be, you know, in the mid to late 80s, whether that be after the NWO, you know, when you look at when they got kind of flat, it's when WCW went out of business. And, you know, you look at things again, in more recent years, I think there's no doubt that it's been good for them creatively, and it's good for the ecosystem to have, you know, more stars in wrestling. I mean, when WWF was doing really well in the 80s, they could bring in guys from Mid-South and AWA and Georgia and wherever, and these established stars. And, you know, they did not want Cody Rhodes to be Cody Rhodes when he was there. They wanted him to stay as, you know, as Stardust and all that kind of stuff. And so, you have to have a platform for people to develop and go back and forth. You look at FTR, I mean, it was really good they came to AEW. And so, yeah, competition makes the ecosystem a lot better for everybody. And, you know, I think AEW benefits from maybe not from WWE quite as powerful as they are, but I still think, you know, the competition is good for everybody in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go to I'll go to another email here. Azan in St. Louis says, hi, Wade and Dan. That's where I saw Dan. I know the booking of Jay White hasn't been ideal, but I noticed that he hasn't taken a loss yet. With him picking up more singles wins of late, could you see him as a challenger for the world championship at Full Gear? Respond to that specifically and kind of more broadly, like I wrote in my report at pwtorch.com about Collision during Collision tonight, that Jay White's just getting more bandwidth to express himself on camera, on promos, in the ring, on commentary. There's something special with him. And, you know, AEW just kind of, you know, threw him in the middle of a freeway with traffic, you know, just thought, merge into traffic and just, you're one of a lot of things going on right now with, you know, and again, it's, you know, one of the big faults of Tony Khan's booking is he just assumes everybody's as big of a fan as him and everybody knows everything about what's going on. So I think sometimes he thinks, the effort, he's already a star. People already know who he is. So I just have to drop him on my show and it's going to pay dividends. And that wasn't the case. It isn't the case. And I just really disagree with that. I think you want to play to that second million as I used to talk about a lot.
Yep.
And you're not insulting the audience. It's just that just seems obvious and common sense to me. So I think Collision has been really good for Jay White. So Dan, yeah, talk about him.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, like we'll get into the CM Punk stuff later, but one of the, you know, if there's all these people that are not allowed or don't want to be on CM Punk's show, whatever, it's great that there's been a spot out there for Jay White and for him to have, I think, some creative freedom, you know, with Bullet Club Gold. And we've talked a lot about how great that dynamic is. I just think it's fantastic they keep carrying around that cardboard cutout of him.
I'm tickled by it also. Some things like that are annoying. I don't know why, but it's so deadpan in how they're doing it. There's nothing about Juice Robinson that's deadpan, but it still feels kind of deadpan.
Well, I mean, but it, yeah. I mean, it's, and of course the guns have different personalities too, but I thought he was great in that promo tonight, and he's referencing all the past with, you know, with Kenny and with Ibushi and all this stuff. Would I like for him to have even more, maybe individual promo time? Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the guy. I think he's amazing. And I think he's been able to carve out for himself on this Collision. You know, if you're watching Collision every week, and in my opinion, you understand wrestling, you see why people are so high on this guy. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to figure out that the guy is a star. So I haven't really thought through. I assume they're going to figure out a way to go to MJF and CM Punk in Chicago. Something is going to obviously happen at All In that's going to lead to All Out. They're going to have a world title match, and they don't want to give it away because is it a MJF Adam Cole rematch? Is it, you know, MJF and Punk? Is it Cole and somebody? You know, we don't know. I kind of feel like it might end up being MJF and Punk, but I see whoever holds the title. Jay White's as good of a choice as anybody to challenge for it at Full Gear that I can think of offhand. I mean, it's not like they have a bunch of super hot guys at the top of the card that you just can't wait to see them get a world title shot. So I'm having a hard time coming up with someone I would put in that position above Jay White. And he's just kind of gradually getting momentum and showing his skills and showing his entire skill set, both in the ring and on the mic. I'd be all for it without having completely thought it through. I don't see the counter argument.
Yeah. What, like a year from now, what's kind of the I hesitate to say, because Todd always says best case scenario. But what's the best case scenario for Jay a year from now? Like, if Tony Khan's like, Dan, I know you've watched this guy's career, I've heard you talk about him, you know, how much should I get behind him, and who should he leapfrog in the hierarchy, and, you know, should he be like a top guy? And with everything with CM Punk, I mean, I kind of think Jay White's sort of like the backup quarterback who might be better than the starter at this point too.
I mean, if you want to make him your centerpiece world champion and you want to show that you're not WWE and that you can create your own stars and that you can honestly claim to have the best guys in the world, that's my ceiling for him. There's nothing the guy is missing that I could come up with in terms of in-ring, in terms of promo, and I would still have him leading a faction, actually. I don't like to use that word faction. We talked about that before. But I would still have him leading a group of some sort. And if they want him to be the, you know, the Ric Flair of the Four Horsemen, and you know, go have CM Punk go after him, have Kenny Omega go after him, have, you know, Adam Page go after him, have your top stars go after him, and he's the main guy, even though he's a heel, that he's surviving all that. That's my top end for him. I mean, I think that highly of him. I don't put him behind anybody definitively. There's obviously other good choices at the top, but he's right up there with me.
Yeah, I'm nodding along. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to Azan. I want to make sure I addressed his quest. Could he be the challenger for the champion at Full Gear? Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm at the point where I think push Jay White.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, really. I mean, and
he's shown no reason not to. I mean, what is, you know, and I'm not saying that he'll never mess up, but I mean, he's getting hits every time, if not home runs. I mean, it's there.
There's something about him. There's just there's just an X factor that he has. He's not real big. And I think that hurt his marketability in the eyes of WWE, and it just doesn't matter, you know, nearly as much of it all in AEW with the way that the promotion is built and how the fan base, you know, looks at wrestlers. So,
and just one more thing, Wade, because right now it's fine that he's kind of top middle supporting guy, but he's the kind of guy that, like, his character is the guy, like, you know, he benefits a lot from being the focal point, and he can handle it. So I don't see the counter argument.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Azan says, I like the Roosh video, but it feels like something that makes you want to, because it makes you want, excuse me, let me do him justice here. I like the Rush video. It feels like something that makes you want to tune in next week. How would you book Rush's comeback in AEW? So what do you think about that video? I think there's something a little weird about, like, a kidnapping on camera that you voluntarily submit to be broadcast on national television. So I'm still kind of processing what we saw and if that was advisable. And I think it's also just a little bit confusing, the way it's portrayed. What did you think?
It struck me as a scene out of Ozark, honestly. And I don't know what to think about it yet either. Wait, I guess I'm going to let it play out. But that was kind of, again, when I said I was lukewarm about the show, it's like I was hearing all the Monday morning quarterback, or whatever you want to call it, all the drama from Dynamite and how it was so all over the place. And this was one of those things. And also, you know, they had the thing with Darby and Nick Wayne. I maybe one too many of those kind of things, I guess. I don't know. Just these jarring things. I'm not completely against it, but it just kind of, maybe they want to shake people up. I don't know. It just didn't quite fit the rest of the show. And I don't want to be overly critical, but it was jarring, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I would have liked a little bit more context.
I feel like that's maybe part three of the story, right? Like,
yeah,
build the story. Don't go straight to the kidnapping. I mean, kind of, you know, hey, I got this call, I got to go to Mexico. That's fine. That's week one, right? Right? Like, let the viewer think about it a little bit instead of just playing
like what,
head into the wall.
From based on what we saw tonight, Dan, what do you think the pitch meeting was? The pitch was to Tony Khan for what the story is. How would you explain to someone who didn't see the show what we saw this week, and then where do you think it is going?
Roosh is this mafioso boss guy that's bossing his underling around to kidnap people. I can't really explain it very well. Fate, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it just, it seemed like too much.
Yeah, I agree. All right, number three, is it just me or at this point does All Out feel like a collision-only pay-per-view? Oh, man. I don't even know if I have a full idea of All Out yet at all where I would draw that conclusion, because have they even, like, addressed it on Dynamite? I mean, they barely addressed it, period, but at least we heard those words tonight. But I still am just – I'm waiting for there to be some sense of a master plan that Tony Khan has figured out of how to promote these two shows on back-to-back weekends.
I mean, they have two matches announced, so I think it seems like an empty show as opposed to a collision show right now.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, and I mean, like, Darby's on both shows, Christian's on both shows, and Luchasaurus, so, and then you, I mean, I guess they're doing Hobbs and Miro. I guess that is kind of a collision thing, but I think it's, yeah, it's just, I would describe it more as an empty show right now, and, you know, it's, you know, it's not great to book something on 1 week notice, but that might be what they end up doing. I think it's fine. I guess I think you have to put your focus on All In right now. And it is kind of, you know, this is just going to be kind of unfortunate the way it all works out, but I am assuming there's a plan.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine a plan where it all works out for the best. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just ideally, there would have been a month difference between the two shows, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the original All In, and I went to the, I guess, the first or second AEW one. I think it was the first one. And, of course, those were so huge. All Out, I mean, I went to the All In, the independent show, and then I went to the All Out AEW show. And, of course, those have been hyped for weeks and weeks and months, and now – you're going to have the exact opposite this year, but that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's shift to talking about what we saw in the opening segment, Samoa Joe coming out. I'm like, they're not going to do just a straight-up Samoa Joe squash at the beginning of Collision. They would save that, you know, for the squash segment later in the show. And then I'm like, is that one of the ding-dongs in the ring? Like, he wore that full body suit from the ding-dong era. I know I can reference that and you'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. This is CM Punk. And, and you know, the crowd slowly, you know, a few people are chanting CM Punk, and then he did the knee, and then, of course, you know, then he unmasked, and it's all there. I didn't think it was the most flattering bodysuit, but I don't know how many people look flattering in those bodysuits.
Right.
It's not a dig on Punk. It just is an unflattering type of outfit to wear. You know, Ricky Starks would probably make it work. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain, you know, certain people who can make it work. But I'm like, I'm not sure. I say that just because, like, I'm not sure it was the best thing for Punk to be that covered up. But I guess, you know, because of the tattoos and everything else that's recognizable about him, he had to be. So, but it was a fun angle, you know, and he catches Joe by surprise. And it took fans on a little journey. It seemed like he got a decent reaction. So, you know, overall, I think it was kind of fun. You know, he humiliated Joe. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a good opening angle. And, I don't know what the reaction would have been to CM Punk on a more, you know, come out and get interviewed with Tony or do whatever, accept the challenge. But this certainly, I think, maximized the positive reaction that he got, because people like to see a surprise thing like that. The GTS wasn't the greatest GTS I've ever seen. He kind of had a struggle with that a little bit.
Yeah.
And he pointed at the sign. I was like, don't. I know Sting did already, but
yeah.
I don't. The pointing at the sign things does seem, you know, I defend AEW, but it seems rather derivative to me. But yeah, I thought overall it was a good segment, and I enjoyed it for what it was. I got this view of it when I first saw it. It looked like he had a TV, like one of these like three dimensional TVs on his chest, like that was sticking out. And it wasn't. He had kind of a Shazam logo or whatever it would be. But I just thought, well, maybe this is somebody, because this is such a ridiculous outfit. It seems like it's not just some random job guy.
Let's step back and talk about the Punk controversy following last week's collision with the Hangman Page comments. It feels like a long time ago already at the pace that things move here. But has that you know, where were you on Punk before that? Did that change where you are on him after that? And did what we saw tonight seem like a good follow-up, which is, you know, keep the mic out of his hand, keep it short, make it a simple, you know, they might have been planning to do this anyway, but don't put him in a position to say anything dumb or say anything that's going to lead to a crowd reaction, which, you know, this might have been a little bit of prevent defense.
Yeah, I think for better, for whatever the plan was, I think what they did tonight, you know, worked really well. And I know Punk has frequently been in the main event, but tonight it was going to be Christian and Darby, and they got him on the show and something quick and meaningful that, you know, if you watched, you say, oh, I've been rewarded from watching the show from the start. I think that's good, be a good way to train your audience from time to time. So as far as tonight's show went, I think it was really good. I wouldn't criticize that at all. Again, I heard you and Todd talking about this, and I go back and forth on it. But again, I kind of like what I was saying about Cash. Like, I've been watching wrestling for so long, and there's been so many conflicts and personality clashes and things like this that I guess I keep maybe hoping or thinking that maybe it's all going to somehow work itself out. But, you know, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say the guy needs thicker skin. But, you know, at the same time, he never gets penalized for having thin skin. So, I mean, I think this idea, I think it was Todd that was mentioning that he blames Tony. And I think that's the number one person to blame, probably. And I don't know how you can fix that. Because, you know, once someone's used to, I mean, I teach my class. I start semester on Monday. And, you know, we have great students here. They're really respectful. But, like, I don't let the classroom environment get out of hand. And once you do that and you just ignore it, it can become a pandemic's the wrong word. But, you know, it can become just a repeated game. It can become a repeated problem. And once you, you know, if you're the boss or you're in charge and you let people know what's unacceptable, most people in a job or in a classroom or whatever it's going to be are going to respond favorably to that because they know that they're not the boss. And I know it's hard, but I think Tony's made it too hard. So I don't have a great answer for you, Wade, other than it's very much an unknown, and I hope it all works out. And I don't know. I mean, I think it is on Tony, I think, ultimately.
I do think, because I hear, you know, get him in a room and assert your authority. Like, I get that. That in 19 out of 20 instances would be the thing that would work. I just don't think it will. I've heard enough from, you know, the anti-Punk side of things over on Dynamite. I don't think that's a topic Tony Khan thinks he can bring up that will fly at all. And CM Punk, it might go in with the best of intentions, and I think he's just going to make things worse. He's not going to like the body language. He's not going to like the way someone looked at him. He's not going to like that someone didn't say the things that in his head he thinks he's owed, that he should be, that he should hear, that it should be obvious, that should be said to him. And I think it would make things worse. And I don't think Tony Khan's that type of person. You know, maybe in 10 years he will be, but it's got to be wrestlers who are not people he looked up to and adores and is huge fans of. You know, he has to be in kind of a different dynamic in a different place than, you know, a few years younger than a guy he is a fan of. So I just think it's a conundrum. I think it's a very difficult situation. In a generic sense, the boss should step in and lay down the law. I get that. I don't think it would for a number of reasons. I think the situation is not likely to be solved with everyone just getting in a room together.
Yeah, and again, I guess and I hope and I'm not convinced that they can't kind of keep these two separate ecosystems. I know that there's been plenty of drama in the few weeks they've been doing it. But I don't know. I mean, if you never really – and it is. It's ridiculous. The one that – like not having Christopher Daniels at the shows is just – I mean, that – you know, that's where you lost me completely, because that's where you have to, and this, I'm repeating what you and Todd talked about, but you've got to lay down the law there. I mean, because he tried to break up a fight. You're not in anyway. But so it is. It's like, you know, the horse is someone out of the barn, but maybe you have a big enough field that you can just say, okay, well, moving forward, we're still going to, you know, there are going to be guys that are going to want that opportunity to excel on collision. Like I said, it may inadvertently been like one of the best things for Jay White. And mm-hmm. it's good for Samoa Joe. And so the people that can either get along with him or not displease him, and they find their – and Will Hobbs and people like that find their place to establish themselves as stars, and they get more of an opportunity. It seems very combustible, but maybe it can still work. I don't know.
All right. Let's go to an email from JB in Jacksonville. I think I'm in the minority, but for me personally, the sense of urgency and pacing of collision is making it harder for me to prioritize it on Saturday nights. I think AW relies too heavily on "we'll hear from" segments on collision, which has been a trend and is code for "we'll play a brief video package from them." I swear Miro, for example, only shows up in front of the crowd once every 6 weeks, and he's, in theory, one of the biggest stars on the brand. If I bought a ticket and didn't get to see FTR, the House of Black, Miro, or Andrade in person, and all I got from CM Punk was a quick masked man gimmick in the first 5 minutes, I don't know how crazy I'd be about coming back the next time. Especially if I sat through 17 ROH matches filmed afterwards. Tonight was the first Saturday I nearly forgot Collision was on, and I think the lack of star power is part of it. How do you feel AEW is doing at balancing taking a less frenetic pace on Collision versus potentially leaving too much star power on the sidelines when they are trying to build a brand?
Yeah, I think the caller has a point, or the emailer has a point. That's what I was mentioning earlier. I was really counting on and looking forward to some sort of in-ring interview with FTR because they excel at that. And to me, you know, that match is right up there as the main event of the pay-per-view. And you need to deliver some of those things, and it shouldn't all be pre-tapes and things of that nature. I also agree with, you know, Micah earlier. I don't disagree with that the pacing is too much on Dynamite. I prefer this pacing. But you need to have something that, you know, like in the first hour, did they really have a big thing they were focusing on that they were going to deliver? I thought maybe that'd be an FTR interview. Again, I know I'm repeating myself. But you need to have a few tentpole events on the show that are promoted as big deals and then are delivered as big deals. And the main event was so good, it made up for some of that to some degree. But I was watching most of the show, and I was thinking, you know, I'm big into college football, and a lot of people are. It's the second biggest property in the world on television right now. And you can't dismiss what that's going to do to your ratings. And you've got to give people a compelling reason to watch. Like, am I going to have AEW on the first TV, the second TV, or the computer on Saturday night when I'm watching college football? I still don't know. Part of it depends on the college football games. But you know, you're going to have to win your audience, and there are a lot of people in this country that watch college football. And you saw what happened to the rating when they had SummerSlam. And, you know, this is going to be a similar effect, I think, if they're not careful.
We got a JB's second paragraph here is a little bit related to the college football conundrum for you and I think others coming up. He goes, I just saw the first Republican debate and Donald Trump's publicity stunt counter-programming will both be running head-to-head with Dynamite on Wednesday. I'm a news junkie and a glutton for punishment and will be DVRing Dynamite for only, I think, the second time ever so I can watch the politics stuff. Do you think it'll take – do you think it'll negatively impact the Dynamite rating this week? Thanks, and go VIP. I love your Keller's – your Way Killer Hotline focus on CM Punk VIP podcast this week, JB in Jacksonville. Thank you, JB. Yeah, Dan, what do you think? I mean, I don't know without Donald Trump at the debate, you know, if the ratings are going to be anywhere near that much, but obviously he'll be a topic of conversation. And there are clearly current events on cable news that have affected wrestling ratings in the past, whether it's, you know, political stuff or natural, you know, natural disasters or whatever, you know, all kinds of stuff has gone on. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be affected. I think it's so early in the, you know, in the season of politics that a lot of people are tuned out. And the fact that it's going to be a lot of people that, frankly, you know, we talk about the second million in AEW and how they don't know everything about everybody. You know, there's like this second million political people who will tune in late in the political political season who have no idea who Asa Hutchinson is, or I don't even know Rasmussen or whatever the guy's name is. Who's like, I don't know some of these people, and I'm a news junkie and politics junkie too. Yeah. So I guess my answer is I think it'll affect things a little bit. I don't think Donald Trump talking to Tucker Carlson will make a difference. I don't think we were going to search that out in big numbers. And I think people are more interested in the legal troubles Donald Trump is in, or hearing him go face to face with Christie. But I don't think they want to see him sit down and have a puff piece rambling interview with Tucker. So,
well, there will, some people will. So, and to answer your question, I don't know. I think it'll affect the viewership number more than the demo. The over 50 crowd is going to be more inclined to watch debates and things of that nature on television. I will definitely, I'll probably DVR the Republican debate, but I am also, pretty much a political junkie. I like to talk about some of these things with my classes. So I feel obligated to watch, if nothing else, just to see when they talk about the, whatever the topic, trade policy, minimum wage, whatever it might be that we're going to talk about in a principles class, I feel obligated to watch. But so I think I don't think it'll affect the rating if we're talking about the 0.31 or whatever nearly, but I think viewership, I would expect they might lose 100,000 viewers, that they otherwise would have had. So I think that'll be more noticeable than the rating.
Yeah. It's the first we're going to see of this, and it's going to kind of set the bar for what to expect later on when things maybe intensify. Very good. Okay, I want to see if our on-site correspondent called yet, and he didn't, because I don't want to leave him waiting. So we've still got him to come up. Ricky Stark so far. I really want to talk about what you're thinking of his push. They did a lot with him this week, and a significant follow-up on the suspension storyline. We found out it's 28 days, not 30. You'd think, why does that matter? But it's already
happened. Why does that matter? Are they saying he's going to come back and wrestle in 4 weeks on the show? And so it's like 27 and a half days? Because otherwise, I don't know what they're running on Sunday or Monday that would make the 28 days versus 30 days matter. So that was one of my biggest unanswered questions that I will throw back at you, Wade. Why does it matter?
Well, stay tuned. We'll find out. Okay. I mean, I don't think it was just to give Tony Schiavone a hard time. By the way, total sidebar. Does everybody give Tony too hard of a time? Like, does he deserve more dignity than he gets? Like, I don't mind any of the things he does. I just don't like the frequency with which they have him in that position. I think it's too much.
We've talked about it. I think I've brought it up every time on here. It's pathetic. It's terrible. Like, they wouldn't pull that. I know this is a garbage with Gordon Solie, he's your Gordon Solie, even more than, Jim Ross is your Jim Ross. He's your Gordon Solie, or at least he could be. I mean, not the same personality. He's more the fun Gordon Solie. Gordon Solie had his share of fun back in the day, too. But, on camera, Gordon was a little more serious. But I hate it. Like, they wouldn't do that to Lance Russell. They didn't do that to Dave Brown. Like, they shouldn't do it. Like, I really don't like it. And it's not like don't like it like, oh, I'm mad at the heels. It's don't like it like maybe I should turn this stuff off, because it just, to me, he's the conduit to the fans. And you're treating your fans that way indirectly. I really don't like it. And it's just every time. It's like there's so much diminishing returns from that. It's just ridiculous. I mean, if there was a one-time thing where – Lance Russell really got mad at somebody, man, that resonated, and it could get people to buy tickets, or Dave Brown, or any number of people like that. They overdo that so much. It's stupid and it's ineffective. So I forgot your question.
It's a sidebar. So that's good. Do you like what they did with Ricky Starks, including the promo, the video, and him managing Big Bill? Because I'm not quite sure, and I wrote this in my report on the website, I'm not quite sure what they're going for with him being a manager. Is it just an excuse for him to be on TV? Then managing isn't really a big core of it. It's just more an excuse for him to continue to be on TV, but they didn't want him to not be punished for beating up Steamboat. Or is it actually they want him to end up, you know, leading a faction, sort of being Eddie Gilbert, or I don't know who you compare him to, or an active wrestler?
That's a good, comparison if that's what they do.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more the first thing. That I just feel like they kind of, they didn't even work backward, really. Like they, I mean, they wanted him to do that thing with Steamboat, and then they had to do something with that. And I even wrote down, at least he didn't beat up Tony. But still, he has kind of disrespected him and the thing. And I mean, that was that like a fragrance ad takeoff or something? That vignette, I couldn't quite figure that one out.
The what about the vignette?
Was it like an ad for like a men's fragrance cologne type thing that was like a takeoff? I mean, it was just,
oh, I don't
the
know.
Vignette was my nephew texted me. He said that was like a cologne advertisement or something. I said, well, maybe it was. I guess I'm. I don't know. So it was a little bizarre to me. I don't, I mean, I thought, you know, somebody had to say was pretty good, but that vignette was just weird. And then, they want to keep him on the show. I guess he's out there with Bill and Bill's doing well, but, I'm again, my jury's kind of out on this one too, again, because it it seems kind of random and disorganized, I guess. That's kind of where I'm at on it.
Yeah. Well, Joe talked about the star power being an issue, and I think one of the strengths of Collision, but it's imperfect. And I understand, you know, Joe's point about Miro, and especially if you're there, they're live. You want to see people in person.
Right.
You know, you don't go to a magic show to watch the magician on a big screen while the assistants do things on the stage.
Right.
You know, whatever. You know, bring up your own analogy. You don't go to a stadium to watch a game on the big screen unless it's, you know, a best of seven series, and you want to be in. And you want to be in
for history.
Yeah. You just want, or you want to be part of the atmosphere. And you know there has to be an away game. But when they come to town, it's not an away game. So all that said, I like Ricky and what they're doing to push to present him as a bigger star. And I think one of the strengths of Collision is it is giving Miro more consistency being featured and Powerhouse Hobbs more consistency, Samoa Joe, Ricky Stark, CM Punk, Jay White and his crew. And so I think there is enough star power there, but as Joe brought up, you know, when you don't see them in person in the building, that's a problem. But as a TV viewer, I mean, whether it works or not, I think the jury's still out of if Starks can be a top tier guy. But I liked what he said tonight. You know, people have assumed the wrong thing about me, and I've followed the wrong people and all that. And Miro had a comeback going. Well, I've followed my God and other people, and I'm on my own now, and I follow my own book. Blah blah blah. I thought it was nicely done. You know, I think Starks was kind of accounting for his past and telling people, don't think about how you perceived me in the past. This is the real me. And I think that's important. And it's just something AEW doesn't do enough of.
Yeah. I mean, again, his mic work was strong. I agree with that. And, I think that to address the star power thing, I think if they do continue to, bring over MJF every 4 to 6 weeks or Adam Cole or people like that. I would say Adam Page, but I guess that's probably not going to happen. I think that does, you know, help freshen it up. But yeah, I mean, with Miro for the longest time, you were like, where is this guy? He shows up once every 10 weeks and has a squash match. And it at least they're building to something now with he and Hobbs. I think that whole thing is kind of intriguing and is a good part of the show. So, and I like Hobbs a lot too. So, I thought, you know, he had not a super long deal, but a good night tonight also.
Yeah. So, Hobbs, Starks, Miro, do you think that they're three people who can be sort of a top six, top eight on a Collision roster going forward? And what are the pros and cons of what you've seen with them so far, and kind of how do you rank them in terms of their upside?
Oh, gosh. That's a really good – I mean, Miro's stuff has been so start and stop.
Yeah.
And as we talked about, the stuff he did with Ethan Page was pretty bad. He clearly has something. I think if I chose, like, for a five-year plan to get behind one of them, though, I think I'd get behind Hobbs. And I don't know that would be the dominant answer if he asked, you know, 20 experts that. But I see that it seems to me like he's come the longest way since I've been watching him in AEW. and you know, you combine. I'm not a big concern about size guy or whatever, but it is nice to have you know, some of your top wrestlers that do have an impressive physique, I think. And he's just got, he seems to have a level of maturity and presence about him that I really like. And I don't, you know, I don't necessarily think that it would be a huge mistake if he partnered up with the right manager again, but I also don't think that's necessarily required either. I just, I don't know. I see like the most potential there, I think. They're all good. I mean, I don't have I don't have a really strong rating, but that's where I would come in.
Yeah, because I think I'm in the same spot. Like, I just – I want to see another, like, 2-3 months of them getting weekly – a weekly presence on TV. I need to see Miro in person in the ring more. I want to see if Starks can seem like this kind of alpha top heel, and if the personality and kind of the guy who likes nice things and dresses well, and, like, if he can avoid getting cheered –
right.
You know, if he can steer himself away from that, and then if he can deliver in the ring, and Powerhouse Hobbs still has a lot to prove, but I think he's at the beginning of it. I just think they're all, it's very early, you know, like a horse race. And, you know, sometimes the horse ahead doesn't have the endurance to stay ahead, and someone is just biding their time to hit the, you know, come out of the curve and then speed up and win. Like, I just, we're in the, you know, the first 10% or 20% of their growth on collision.
And to get to your question, like if you say how many of these guys could be top 6 to 8 guys in 18 months from now, maybe all of them, maybe one of them, maybe two of them. I don't think zero. I think they're all enough, high enough up there that at least one of them is going to hit and probably two, but maybe not all three. I mean, they all have question marks, but they all have a lot of potential too. And, you know, I guess I have a little bit of bias against the, you know, the WWE, the folks that have done that already. And maybe that's why I don't quite like, but Miro's been compelling. So I can't say that it can't work with him either.
All right. Let's pivot to, Jordan calling from Kentucky. Jordan, thanks for calling.
Hey,
what's up
doing
with you tonight? Good. Good talking.
Nothing. We're at the arena. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we sure can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're at the arena. They're going through the last Ring of Honor match, and I wanted to say for the they're having some Rampage matches tonight, you know, because they're going to London, so they're having a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
We wanted to say, so, you know, the show started out with a bang for me. I mean, you know, Joe, you know, he's coming down the ramp, and then you got this goofball character, you know, and you don't know who it is. And then all of a sudden Joe gets attacked and put to sleep, you know, they go to sleep. And the people, you know, they knew who it was before it was, you know, they started chanting CM Punk. And that was pretty cool. You know, and then you got a few squash matches, you know, you got Big Bill squashing some dude. And then you got, Hobbs squashing some dude. And, it was fair. Willow, she was good. Some of the matches were pretty good, but the crowd kind of dead, you know, at times. Got up for Willow, and it was a fun time, but the crowd was a little bit off tonight. And that's the way it is in Kentucky. That's the way it is in Louisville at times, or Evansville at times, I mean. But, the matches, I mean, I just remember the squash matches. It's good to see one every now and then. But, man, am I looking forward to Miro coming back. And just like the last caller were you talking about, you know, I want to see him come and fight for a while. And, stay here. I don't know what he's been doing, and I know he did a show, but it's a TV show. But where's he been?
Fair question.
I know, and there's just no answers to that. But by the way, we had an email, Jordan, about the lack of people appearing in person on camera. I'm curious if anybody who was on the big screen during the TV show showed up off television, you know, Amiro, FTR, anything like that. Like, were there wrestlers who were on the screen that did appear in situations off camera that you know?
Oh, off camera, not many. Who was on? Did you remember any of the promos? I mean, Ricky Starks appeared, but then he came out.
Yeah.
So there was a lack of those tonight. They didn't do much of that tonight. I wonder why. I thought they advertised they were doing an FTR tonight. Mm-hmm. I know what happened. They did, and it didn't happen. I don't know why.
And they were, well, because Cash Wheeler got in some legal trouble, and I think they
I heard.
So I think they just wanted to avoid that being something that became, you know, an issue. I could see a lot of reasons to not have them appear in front of a live crowd from a PR perspective, especially on live TV. So I'm curious to check the advertising before all this happened to see, you know, how overt they were about what they were going to do. Because it just, I mean, the poster on Twitter today said, we'll hear from FTR. And you can say, well, you know, but you also said, we'll hear from Miro. Mm-hmm. And both of those are true. So I'm curious if they overtly advertise something beyond that. And I just don't recall because, you know, when I say we're going to hear from them, I assume they're going to be in more than a vignette. But technically, that's not false advertising.
Yeah. That's the only one I remember is the FTR. And I know with the legal trouble, I'm worried about All In. I mean, I don't know how that goes, you know. I've never been in legal trouble. I don't know if he'll be out on bail or what, but it's pretty serious, pretty serious allegation that they made. So I don't know the situation. So maybe he'll make it. Hope he does, because it'd be a banger of a match. I think it would really be a good match. So I hope it happens.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Well, let me quiz you a little bit about your experience tonight. Did Tony Khan appear on camera, in front of the fans at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he did.
Talk about
come out tonight early, you know, told us what we were going to see. You know, we got some nice matches, and we're going to have some Ring of Honor matches, and then we're going to have Orange Cassidy match. And, well, he told us some Rampage matches. I better not say who, I guess, for anybody who might want to watch Rampage, but
I mean, that's fair warning.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what they
Well, they're going to have Orange Cassidy defend his title, but I don't remember if he said who. Actually, he didn't. He just said Orange Cassidy defending his title. I don't know who, so I haven't seen that advertised. But he said that Tony Storm and Saraya, they're gonna fight. Hikaru Shida, who's with Shida? Britt Baker. Yeah, that's who it is.
Good job.
So that's what we're staying for. Yeah, it is.
Anything stand out?
Now the first match was QT Marshall, and for the life of me, I can't remember who he was going up against. I have a very bad memory, Wade. But I had a lot of fun during the Christian match with Darby, the main event tonight. It was a good match, but I really loved yelling down at Christian, that you're not the TNT champion. You didn't win the title. You know, that's part of the gag anyway, but I really got a kick out of yelling at him like about that. But, you know, Luchasaurus gets kicked out.
The way he handed the belt and kissed it and gave it to the referee before the match, that was like Ric Flair 1982 with the NWA world title. I mean, you'd have thought that was the most precious thing in the history of the world. That was so tremendous. He is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And Luchasaurus just sits there and lets him carry it around, you know, just kind of playing dumb like he doesn't realize it. But did y'all at the end? Did you see where he made Shivani? He made Shivani come into the ring after they hit him again. That was funny. Poor Shivani.
Yeah.
poor Shivani.
Yeah, we talked about poor Shivani earlier. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Jordan, who stood out in terms of getting the biggest reaction to appear in front of the crowd tonight, and that can incorporate Collision and ROH.
CM Punk, Joe, definitely Darby Allin. I think that Big Bill got a – well, you know, he came out with Ricky Starks. So it's hard to say whether the reaction was – I really like Big Bill, and I think he's not a tremendous wrestler, but I'm a fan of his, you know, so I like him. I'm glad he came to AEW from what happened with, I don't know. He got into some trouble at WWE. I think it had to do with power slamming a little person an extra time or two. But that's what I heard anyway. And I hope that CM Punk is not in, you know, the show here with Tony Khan. I hope he didn't get in any trouble. I read a little bit about that. I hope he's not throwing his weight around too much because, you know, AEW really, they need him because they have a lot of wrestlers that are faces and names. And then they have some that you see and you're like, hey, who is this? And just like one came out tonight and you're like, actually, there was Lee Moriarty in the Ring of Honor match. And I told my friend here, we're always in the handicap section, but I told him, hey, that's Lee Moriarty. He's been in AEW. And then Layla Hirsch comes out and, hey, she was in AEW for a while. Of course, they've been sending a lot of their wrestlers over there, and fight. You know, and everybody, you know, everybody seems to have a belt too. And y'all have talked about that. and so they got way too many belts.
No question about that. Dan, is there anything you want to ask Jordan about his experience here?
Yeah, I'd be a little bit curious, Jordan. It seemed like the guy that wrestled Big Bill and maybe one of the other enhancement guys local. And did you notice that they had any sort of bigger reaction than you might expect for an enhancement talent? It just seemed like maybe they brought someone in that had a little bit of a following.
Well, I don't know if he was local. I don't know who he was. Whenever the squash match happened with Powerhouse Hobbs, did you guys catch the fans chanting for him? His name was Kevin.
Yeah.
Which is my buddy's name here.
Yeah, the crowd seemed to really get behind.
Oh, man, the crowd was like, Kevin, Kevin.
Yeah.
I started in that, too. I'm like, and I felt bad for Hobbs because I thought he's been, you know, I thought they were turning him babyface. And at the end, I think he was a little bit irritated with them cheering. Us cheering Kevin. So, I don't know.
Well, Hobbs should pretend he might still be with QT Marshall then.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I don't think that he'll stay with them. I think he'll move on. I mean, I assume that he will. I think he'd be better as a solo act, you know. I think he's got, potential.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys know if Wardlow is injured?
Good.
Yeah. Do y'all know if Wardlow is injured?
He hasn't been, or he, I don't think he is injured. So, yeah, I think he's put some stuff out there on social media, but I haven't been able to kind of follow up on if it's like kind of storyline related or not in terms of him being bummed out about not being active. So yeah, I'm just kind of hesitant to talk about, but there's not like an actual injury.
Because people like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
People like him. And I don't understand that. See, some of the people that like Miro, you know, you like the wrestler, then they just, you don't see them for a while, too long. And Wardlow is one of my favorites.
That happens too often.
Yeah, way too often.
Now, the one thing I would say that maybe they could do is if they keep him hidden and out of sight, and then, you know, either him, no matter what happens, they do something with him and MJF. And he kind of, and maybe MJF turns babyface and he comes back as a heel or vice versa. So if they're going to do something with him and MJF, I understand. This is just my speculation. I know nothing. But that wouldn't – it is really bizarre that he has not been heard of for this long, although he probably underperformed a little bit compared to the way they were hoping he would perform, I think, also.
Yeah, because I remember one of the last matches he did a spot off the ladder onto a table. And I didn't know that he had that in him. So I thought maybe people were going to get, you know, a little more out of him and he was going to really begin to take shape a little more as a wrestler. Of course, that was dangerous what he did. He almost kind of missed the table. But, well, hey, they're getting ready to start the Rampage.
Yeah, enjoy it.
So I'm gonna jump off, and it was good hitting you guys up.
Yeah, thank you, Gordon, for calling. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks for
enjoy
taking
the rest
call.
Of the show. And hey, if you're up for it and you have the energy, send an email in with some notes from the show that maybe you can piece together, including what happens next that we don't get to talk to you about here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we can post it on the website. Yeah. Thanks,
okay.
Jordan. Enjoy the rest of the show. I appreciate you calling. Very fun time.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
You bet.
All right.
All right. Dan, is there anything else from tonight's show that we haven't covered or you want to follow up on? Or I mean, we kind of hit some things even just in that last call with Jordan about, you know, some things we hadn't talked about yet. So, yeah, anything else you want to add before we wrap up here?
You know, I kind of was, again, looking through my notes while Jordan was talking. I do think the flat crowd he brought out was one of the reasons I was a little more lukewarm about the show going into the main event. I think it didn't quite have the energy that some of the crowds have had in the past. I have to credit Todd Martin. Willow Nightingale is less stupid than Sky Blue. So that was good to see that someone can rely on a fellow baby face, at least to keep themselves from getting assaulted. So that I like that part of her character. And I do want to come back to, it just seems like JR is getting more comfortable every week.
Yeah.
I thought this was his best performance, and I think it's worth mentioning because it really does add, to me, some gravitas to the show and makes it feel more like a main event. And I think they're using him wisely. And, you know, obviously there's been ups and downs with JR. You know, with his health and different things. And I really appreciate seeing him being, you know, even if it's just for 20 or 30 minutes on the show, a significant contributor there. And I thought he was tonight.
I think this is the type of match that he can be comfortable calling because he's seen Darby's whole journey in AEW and Christian, he obviously has a huge history with. And this is the type of match that, you know, Christian's wrestling where it's not, oh, let me show off all the names of the moves that I know that have these, you know, obscure names to a lot of viewers that Excalibur can rattle off. And Jim is just, oh, so that's what that's called. And then he just gets grumpy. And, you know, this is a match with selling and pacing and characters and storylines. So that helps. But I do think he's just, you know, probably in a better place too. And having him come out there and be, you know, get big crowd reactions. We've had reports of him getting cheered a lot and then ending up, you know, being fresher and, you know, having a little spring in his step and then not being, you know, spending 2 hours, you know, getting worn out. I mean, I think a lot of things worked in his favor tonight, and I like him being treated this way. As you know, a go-to guy, as a go-to guy who's, you know, a special legendary announcer for a main event.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head too. It was clear he was really enjoying that match. He was enjoying calling that match. So you want to be thoughtful about what you're bringing him out for. I definitely agree with that. The only other thing, I was trying to think of some suggestions. You know, we think about ways to improve the show, and they could do this. But honestly, the show's a week from tomorrow. So I think it would have been good to get a quick backstage interview with Samoa Joe. You know, just, I know the match is made and people know it's coming, but seeing Samoa Joe is pretty good TV, and they could have done that for 60 or 90 seconds. And I think would have added to that, you know, match that's now officially on the card.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the lineup for All In at this point and, you know, how it's shaping up and how they're promoting it?
Yeah, I mean, I see the criticism out there of the lineup, and you know, I mean, if they would have done Ospreay and Kenny again, I mean, I know that's one that is really appealing, but I also understand they may want to save that for the Tokyo Dome or other things. I like the lineup a lot. Like, I'm excited about the show. I'm going again next Friday to see my favorite band, the Avett Brothers, in Des Moines, Iowa. And I might see them again Saturday night in Kansas City, although they're not the main event, so I haven't decided on that one for sure. But I'm going to figure out a way to get either to a movie theater again, hopefully one that shows the entire show on Sunday, or get it here at home on pay-per-view. I mean, I understand that people want like the show to end all shows, but I think the main event, I thought they did good work on Wednesday night building up the main event when they got serious there. I understand, you know, people that are like, they're a little too jokey, but I thought they both showed what the title meant. Really excited about the tag team main event. And I mean, I think that six man is really compelling too. There's a lot going on there with, you know, Jay and Takeshita, and Will, or no, Will's with Jericho, Jay and, now I'm drawing a blank here, but, against the Elite, Jay Takeshita. And Takeshita. Yeah. But who's the third? Jay and Takeshita. And,
oh, Juice and Juice. Jay.
And, oh, it's Juice. Yeah. So Juice is in there. Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. I'm excited about the show. I mean, I think maybe people are being a little unfair in some ways. I mean, I know it's a big crowd, but I think it's going to be a great show. I'm pretty fired up about it.
Would you like to see this lineup established 3 weeks sooner so we can get into that zone of emphasizing, underlining what they're doing rather than having everything come together at the last second, which has been Tony Khan's pattern. It's deliberate. He lays the groundwork for it. And his belief seems to be, you know, having TV shows where we're just underlining things that we are already established isn't his forte. He doesn't think it's a thing to do.
I agree with that. I may be 2 weeks, but you know, like it's, you know, we went too long with, I think, you know, only two or three matches known on the show. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, a show like this, you want, you know, sometimes it's the anticipation that gets people excited.
Yeah.
And again, I think this card is worthy of people anticipating it. I don't, you know, I mean, it's not the exact card I would have necessarily booked, but it's really compelling. And I think there's a decent, and then I think if you do that way, what are people not really talking about? They're not really talking about who BCC is going to get as their partners. If the rest of the show was established and the announcers don't talk about it very much either, like that should be a hook. Like, hey, on Wednesday, or I assume we're going to find out before the show, you know, we're going to find out who the three other guys are that are going to team up with BCC. Like, that makes that match seem a lot less important when not only do you not know who's going to be on it, but if you don't know, it should be a focus of everything. Like, that should be a big deal, and they barely address it. So it's like, it's not the matches, I think that people are, as maybe even subconsciously, they're more critical of what you're bringing up, that we haven't had enough time to really anticipate everything. And it's getting a little bit thrown together.
Yeah. And wait till we pivot to all out.
Well, that was really going to be thrown together.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know if I might get it, but I always travel over Labor Day. And a couple times I've traveled to Chicago for that show, but I'll be traveling to visit family. So not 100% sure I'll get that one, but I'm gonna get this one Sunday for sure.
Yeah.
A week from Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Dan. Anything else you want to add before we sign off here?
We hit all the notes again, Wade. Always a pleasure talking to you, and appreciate the callers again and the emailers. I hope I wasn't too mean to the one emailer, but we don't all have to agree all the time. And I always appreciate the opportunity to do this.
Awesome.
Chiefs
thanks, Dan.
Chiefs look good too.
Oh, good.
The Chiefs look good too. I was watching them in the background, so there was no sweat to even watch that game. So that was good.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks to our on-site correspondent. Thanks to our callers, our emailers, and we'll talk to y'all Monday night after Raw.